Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham on AM 770 KTTH. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital Management, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often treacherous financial markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
All right, welcome back to the show. And great to join you guys today. As always, thank you for joining us. And additionally, as always, we plan to make this the most scintillating hour of radio in financial radio. Is financial radio even a thing? I guess it is, right? Darren's ignoring me because he's watching the U.S. Open on his computer. He's very dedicated. Anyway, got a great show planned for you today, at least I think so. How do you like that for confidence? As always, we're going to start with the market update. And the name of the show is Know Your Risk Radio. And I know we talk about it a lot, but I got asked a couple questions. Now, I'm teasing three different segments right now, so stay with me here. A lot of moving parts. Got to be on your toes. I got asked a lot of interesting questions. We had a ton of client meetings this week. Thanks again. We got tons of great calls, tons of always enjoy meeting with listeners. But anyway, you got a bunch of great questions. They reminded me there is an aspect of risk that I don't think that we've spent enough time talking about. And as always, Know Your Risk Radio. First and foremost, our job as fiduciaries and managers of retirement assets should be managing risk. Not making enough money to fund your retirement is a problem. But losing money and blowing up a retirement is also a big problem. And it's balancing those things. So anyway, there's an aspect of risk having to do with the amount of money we're making, or what we refer to as upside risk, that we really need to talk about and we really need to discuss. So I wanted to get into that. Also wanted to give you some anecdotal. For those of you that have listened to the show before, we've been talking about the bond issue literally since day one. And the question I get a lot of time is, what about stocks? They're so overvalued. Or, Zach, you think stocks are overvalued? And I go, yes. And they go, well, I love stocks. And I go, well, I do too. It seems like all the confusion is always, the focus is always around the stocks. I got some great anecdotal client reviews we did this week with people that are actually becoming new clients or people that have just become new clients. And I think it'd be helpful for you to hear what we saw and what they've experienced. So we want to go over that. We also want to talk about, valuations ongoing. Want to talk about tariffs a little bit. And also want to discuss gold. We're going to hit on some of those during the market update, which we need to get into. But we're going to kind of periodically. It's going to be about risk. Going to be about the client questions of the week. Going to be talking about volatility in markets, tariffs, that kind of stuff. So anyway, that's the synopsis. But let's get into the market update. So what we've got going on here, and I think this has caught a lot of people off guard as far as it goes to the markets. This sideways trend that we've been in since the volatility blow up, and if you've listened to the show more than once, or if you listened to the show at the end of last year, you probably got tired of me talking about volatility. And, I'm not happy volatility came back with a vengeance. At the same time, hopefully it'll convince you that I'm not a complete idiot. Because why'd we spend 5 months talking about volatility? Well, because we talked about what was going to happen in February, and we also talked about when volatility finally exploded that it was going to cause larger issues. And, you know, not predicting a crash. We don't try to predict where markets are going, but, you know, predicting where markets are going and observing issues are two different things, right? I think the real estate situation is a perfect example. And if you haven't seen it, you really need to see the movie The Big Short. Better yet, read the book. Now, don't watch the movie in front of the kids. There's some harsh language. There's a few adult scenes. Nothing horrible, but certainly nothing I'd want my children to watch. But anyway, I think it's a great deal where, or a great example of how, although we don't want to bet on certain things happening, or we don't want to guess where markets are going or try to predict where markets are going, when there's a big issue or there's a ticking time bomb, and we see it, it's our job. It should be our job as fiduciaries to protect against it. That doesn't mean sell everything or try to time markets. But this whole modern evolution of the modern financial advisor, every single person I met with this week said, I want a more active approach. I don't want to participate in the next market downturn. And I said, well, hold on a second. We do not try to predict which way markets are going. And they, to a person, they all said, we understand that. We've listened to the show. I get it. But my current advisor tells me that his job is simply to hold my hand and make sure I don't do something irrational. And this is the issue I've got with the modern financial advisor. I don't think they're dishonest. I don't think that they're doing anything untoward or unethical. It's that I don't think that they provide a service that justifies the fee. For instance, the vast majority of you have financial advisors out there. You can look at what's in your portfolio. You can go on Scottrade, open an account for, what I don't know, what is it, $25, $50? Buy the same stuff that your financial advisor put in your portfolio. If it's 65, 35 bonds, rebalance it once a year or once a quarter if you want to. You can even set it up on automatic rebalance and save yourself 1.5% a year. There's no difference. And just tell yourself you're never going to sell. No matter how ugly it looks, no matter how good it looks, you're just going to hold that percentage. I don't think that's value. And so where I'm getting with that is, what is a fiduciary supposed to do? I think what a fiduciary is somebody that looks at your plan, looks at your needs for retirement, looks at the timetable of your retirement, and builds a portfolio specifically for your needs. Right, we talk about our bond replacement. If you're a 40-year-old guy and you're starting to plan for retirement, you want to roll together a couple old 401ks or something, we're probably not going to talk much about the whole bond replacement aspect. Right? The fixed index annuity, we're not going to talk about it. Why? Because you've got 25 or 30 years. Our whole focus should be the maximum. You know, we want to keep an eye on risks. We don't want to sit there and, you know, be too extended. This is the second longest bull market in U.S. history. We're within 11 months, I want to say, of being the longest one. This is not a time to be over-aggressive, but we don't want to try to time things. Right? But the focus is, now, flip it around. If you're 70 years old or you're 65 years old, like several people I met with this week, even if you're 58 and you're going to retire at 62, a little bit of a different ballgame. Right? So we need to approach it differently. And I don't want to get ahead of myself here because this is the market update, so I'll get back on track yet. But we're going to talk about these scenarios and the breakdown of the modern financial advisor and the holes in their advice. And again, not in a denigrating way. These people don't mean to do this. They're doing what they've been trained to do. You want to blame somebody, blame it on the financial banks or the financial institutions, the brokerage houses that have trained these people. But there are better ways to do what you're currently doing. But anyway, getting back to the market update, and that's kind of how I got off road here or off track. This sideways move in the markets, some look at it as a consolidation. which just means, you know, kind of pricing in a new floor for the market. It's all nonsense talk, really. But that sideways move continues. And if you just pull up a chart of the S&P and you can see, you know, at the beginning of February, when that volatility thing exploded that we had talked about since about October of last year, wham, the characteristics of the market have completely changed and you can see it. Now, that doesn't mean anything. We could resume the upward trend. As a matter of fact, based on economic indicators, I think it's an odds-on favorite that we probably finish the year, you know, higher, if not significantly higher than we are right now. But again, we're not trying to predict moves, right? We're not trying to predict markets. We're not apocalyptic. We're not doomsdayers. But the environment has changed, and we got to pay attention to that. Another really interesting move is in gold. We advocate conservative positions in gold, but for the gold bugs out there, these types of events, this heightened volatility is why going all in on gold isn't the answer either, right? What is the answer? Diversification. Right. And I think the last 6 months have really illustrated that. When we're planning for retirement, it's not one thing, right? It's a diversified approach. That's really the security. That's really the protection that we've got in retirement. One thing I want to bring up in the market update, and we'll talk about this a little bit later in the show, but something's fascinating to me is if we look at a stock like Netflix, when we talk about overvaluation, I think it's a perfect example. First of all, I have Netflix. I think they're a phenomenal company. They do great things. But as investors, we need to separate value from the quality of a company. The greatest company in the world can be disgustingly overvalued. Conversely, a bad company with bad management can be ridiculously undervalued. As investors, and if you do not believe me, pull up some Warren Buffett quotes, pull up Charlie Munger, Seth Klarman, you know, pull up the great value investors of the last 100 years, and they will all tell you, and mathematically and empirically, we can, you know, this bears out that the number one indicator on the returns and the performance of your portfolio is the price you pay for your assets. It is not even necessarily what those assets are. We all get focused on, do you own this stock? Do you own that? The number one indicator is what you pay. That's the starting point. There are a lot of bad companies out there that if you'd have bought them in 2009, you made a mint. And you know, I don't mean bad, like isn't they're going out of business, but just, you know, not blue chip type stuff. But what happened? You bought them at bargain basement prices. And that's the other thing in my mind. You know, if a fiduciary doesn't have their mind, it's not the only thing we focus on, obviously. But if we're not talking about value and valuations, we're not providing a service. Now, that doesn't mean when valuations get high, we sell everything, or when valuations get low, we buy. But if that's not part of the discussion, then once again, that's another example of the industry or that particular advisor failing in their fiduciary duties, in my opinion. But if you want to really look at an interesting thing, when we talk about overvaluation, I think it's really a really interesting thing is to compare Netflix and Disney. Like I said, well, we're going to get into this later. But an interesting thing has happened more recently, actually this last week. Netflix has become a more valuable company than Disney. You know, many, well, Netflix is the up and coming and all that other kind of stuff. I get it. Much higher growth rate than Disney, all that kind of stuff, okay? But I want you to think about something. Like I said, we'll revisit this and go into this a little bit more in the next segment. But Netflix in 2017 had about a little over $11.5 billion of revenue. Okay, not bad. Now, the stock is trading at $170 million or billion-dollar plus market capitalization. For those of you that don't do quick math, that's, you know, just over 16 times revenue. Okay, that is disgustingly high. On the flip side, Disney did over $55 billion in total revenue, and their company is now valued at $10 to $12 billion less than Netflix. I laugh every time I read it because it's just astonishing. Disney made $9 billion of profit last year, okay? Netflix, on the other hand, remember we had way less revenue, did $550 million of revenue. Now, keep those figures in mind. I'll go over them later, but I think it's a perfect illustration of what we talk about value and an overvalued market. Now, we'll get to the rest of it. Gold made some really interesting moves. We were talking about that. Gold had a big break on Friday. Yesterday, we're recording the show on Friday, but I want to make sure that we're prescient and on top of it as far as dates go. And the market's a little roiled by tariffs. They should be. This is, you know, again, not trying to predict the way markets go, but excuse me. When you get markets this highly valued, a disruption in trade with the second largest economy in the world, excluding the Eurozone, because it's a bunch of different countries together, but that's going to disrupt earnings. You know, the other thing that I think is funny is when you look at Tesla and Netflix prices, one of the bull cases for both of those stocks, where they're both ridiculously overvalued, is they're moving into China. Well, not so fast, right? Funny thing is their stocks aren't even taking hits. They will. But anyway, we'll get in. I want to talk more about this Netflix Disney thing just because I really think it's a great illustration of value. So anyway, we got to take a quick break. As always, you can call us 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. If something we say hits home to you, look, you know, one of the reasons Dory became a client is because we don't do any of this shady, you know, keep your data and drown you with flyers and emails. We don't believe in doing business that way. Give us a call. We'll do a 15-minute portfolio review, and you tell us what you've got in your portfolio. We'll tell you what we've got in our clients. And we'll show you the difference in the performance. We'll show you the difference in the cost. And we'll show you, and we'll show it on a 10-year running scale. So you can see it's not just 1 year or 2 years, over the last 10 years, over the last 5 years. Do yourself that favor, even if it's just 15 minutes. Or even shoot us an email. Some people don't want to talk on the phone. We can do it over email. I can email you the proposal and the performance. Anyway, get a second opinion. It is your life. It is your retirement. You've only worked your entire career for it. Anyway, you can also go to the website, knowyourriskradio.com, listen to other episodes. We've pretty much covered everything. How many segments were at, Darren? 300. You guys could listen to 350 different segments. That sounds like a weekend, huh? Anyway, we got to take a quick break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. Talk more about valuation and this whole Netflix and Disney, which I think is kind of a historic event. Anyway, we'll be right back. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson. I'm here with Brian Ott, host of Long-Term Care Radio right here on Cairo every Saturday at 7. And Brian, before signing up for a plan, I attended one of your classes with my wife, learned how passionate you are about what you do and how you love to teach people about the importance of long-term care planning.
You know, I really do love educating people, Dory.
Now, why is that?
Well, someone took the time to educate my grandmother about long-term care, which meant she got the level of care she deserved, but it also meant my mom didn't have to give up her life to be a caregiver. You know, Dory, it taught me firsthand that long-term care planning protects you and the people you care about most.
Yeah, that's exactly why my wife and I put a plan in place with Brian and why I recommend you do the same. Start by joining Brian at his next long-term care planning class and learn about the most innovative plans available, like the one I got. It's going to pay me back whether I use it or not. Don't miss Brian's next class, Saturday, June 23rd in Bellevue. There are only a few seats left, so sign up today at 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. So why risk it? Hey, it's Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer of Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. Call now and get our brand new version of Common Sense Investing. It's our complimentary booklet that shows you how you can protect your retirement portfolio against loss, but still participate in market gains. Safety doesn't have to mean lower returns. Our clients have increased their returns while being insured against loss. And like our client Dory Monson says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning.
I am indeed a client, Zach, and I got to tell you, you have to read Zach's brand new version of Common Sense Investing. You'll learn how to protect your retirement against loss, but still participate in market gains. Call now, get your free copy, 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. I'm sure you guys were sitting on the edge of your seat waiting for this continued discussion about Netflix and Disney. And if this is boring, I'm sorry. I just think this is fascinating. And I think it's a perfect, you know, we hear terms. I realize everybody doesn't do this for a living. And I don't mean that condescending at all. I just, you know, realize you don't do it for a living. And so when we say words like, you know, value investing or, you know, high value, you know, what does it mean? And I think this is just a perfect illustration of this, okay? And now I want to reiterate something. I have Netflix. I think Netflix is a great company. Okay, if you own Netflix stock, I am not advising that you sell it. We don't make stock recommendations. What I'm trying to do is point out to you what we mean by overvalued, okay? So what we talked about in the last segment, that is, if we look at 2017 as just a quick example, Netflix did 11.5 billion dollars in total revenue, and only about 500 million of that was profit. Now there are some reasons for that. They're reinvesting in their company. I get that. Everybody's always quick to bring up Amazon, which is a totally different scenario. There's some similarities, but it's a different scenario. In my opinion, it's a bad comparison to Netflix. And one of the reasons for that is Netflix is a one-trick pony, right? Amazon's got its fingers in everything. Anyway, I don't want to get off track. So the reason we're discussing this, to reiterate, if you're just now joining us and you didn't hear the last segment, the reason we're discussing this is because Netflix passed up Disney in total valuation, the total valuation of the company. Netflix is at, I want to say, $173 billion valuation. I'll pull that up on our screener just to make sure. $171 billion valuation. Disney's at like $162 billion. So Netflix did a little over $11.5 billion in revenue last year. Disney did $55 billion in revenue last year. Of the $11.5 billion that Netflix made, they kept just over $550 million in profit. Disney, on the other hand, did, and I just lost it. We got to pull this back up. Disney, on the other hand, did $9 billion of profit. Now, one of the things we look at to value companies is something we call price to sales. Meaning, we look at the total market capitalization, or if we add up all the shares of a company outstanding, we add them together, what's that number? For Netflix, it's $172 billion. And then we compare that to their total annual revenue, okay, which is, what did we say, just over $11.5 billion. Okay, if we do the math, that means that Netflix is right around 15, and I'm just doing it off the top of my head, so if I'm a little bit off, forgive me, but that means Netflix is right around 15 to 15 and a half, 16 times revenue. Okay. If that doesn't sound like an incredible number, it is. It's a scary number. As a matter of fact, I go back to that. Who was it? Was it Cisco? We've talked about it on the show before. I don't have the quote in front of me. But in 2002, one of these big tech companies, I think it was either Intel or Cisco. Cisco Systems, not the food company. Gave a speech after the tech bubble popped. His stock was down something like 90%. And he said, look, we didn't do anything wrong. If you paid 10 times revenue for our stock, you must have been assuming that we were going to grow our revenue by 50% a year for 10 years straight. We were going to have no labor costs. We were going to have no research and development. Basically, he was saying, look, I don't determine the price of the stock, you do. And if you're an idiot and you pay way too much for it, that's not my fault. This was the CEO of the company. Now, he was talking about 10 times revenue. You look at a company like Netflix, it's at 15, 16 times revenue. Now, Disney is a mature company. It's trading at 3 times revenue, which, by the way, is still pretty expensive for a company with their revenue growth, which isn't that impressive. A little bit. But, you know, they're not growing like gangbusters. But they're at 3 times revenue. Just to get to the same revenue level in the next 10 years, Netflix would need to double their revenue. Well, they need to go up by 50% for, what is it, six or seven straight years? They're currently growing revenue at about 22, 23%. Now, the reason that scares us as value investors is, what if there's a recession? What if something bad happens? Now, you notice I use the term what if. It's inevitable, right? They're going to have a slowdown period in their business. They're going to have a bump along the way or make a bad product or, you know what I mean? Things happen. And so if that happens, or when something negative happens, and by the way, it kind of already is. Their revenue growth has slowed down. Not dramatically. They're still growing at a great clip. And this is nothing against company. The company doesn't set the value of the stock. The market does. The market has just built this thing up. It has to drop like a rock at some point, and I think the not too distant future. Again, I'm not telling you to sell it. We're not giving recommendations. But you got a company doing $11 billion in revenue, growing at 22, 23% a year, which is a phenomenal growth rate. And of that revenue they're doing, $500 million is profit, and they're valued at $172 billion, which is more valuable now than Disney, who is making roughly, what is that, 5 times as much money in terms of revenue, and is making nearly 20 times as much in profit. If that seems off to you, you're not insane. This is we all did the tech bubble. See, the difference is, the thing that scares me the most about this time is I can't tell you how many people I sit down that own these kind of stocks in retirement. And they haven't trimmed their positions, so they're, you know, because they've grown a lot, right? So they're big parts of the portfolio. They sit there and go, it's a great company. And I go, they're right. No question. Right? Honda's a great car. Would you pay $150,000 for it? I got a great house out in Gig Harbor, 3,200 square feet. Beautiful home, 4 bedrooms for the kids, big backyard. Great. Anybody want to buy it for $3 million? I didn't think so. But yet we do it with stocks. We see people doing it all the time. And then these people lament and they forget about what happened in 99 and 2000. They forget about what happened in 2007, 2008. If you're riding those tech stocks, these high flyers, we've talked about it before and I don't want to reiterate it. I want to focus on the valuation side, but it's not if, guys, it's when. And they're not going to go out of business. I'm not saying that, but if you lose 50, 60, 70% of your value, that's a problem. And here's the other thing. Everybody's doing the whole passive indexing thing, right? The big FANG companies everybody's used to, they make up a larger percentage. Tech right now makes up a larger percentage of the S&P 500 than it did in 1999. It's just madness. And the fact that people aren't concerned about it, that to me is the most concerning thing. It really reminds me of, it's very much the same mindset of people in 2007 saying, real estate can't go down in price. God's not making any more of it. And then other people go, well, it came back. Yeah, so if you bought in 2007, congratulations, you're back to even. Maybe you've made a little bit of money. It took a decade. And that's the point. In retirement, we don't have decades. Will you get it back? Will Netflix grow into that valuation someday? Maybe. It's pretty lofty. There aren't a lot of Disneys running around out there. It's like my grandfather said, there's many a slip betwixt the cup and the lip. A lot of things can go wrong. A lot of things that can change. And when you have so much good news priced into the price of something, there's a lot that can go wrong. And if something little goes wrong, it can equal a big change in stock prices. So anyway, I feel like I've beaten the dead horse. And I want to reiterate, not making a recommendation. And this is just one. There's worse offenders out there. We're looking at stocks every single day. As a matter of fact, the number of stocks on the S&P 500 that are trading at 10 times revenue or more is even higher than it was in 1999. So I'm not trying to pick on Netflix. I think they're a great company. I use their service. Right? It's no one's bashing. I think their CEO's done a great job. I got nothing bad to say about them. Same for Amazon. Same to Facebook for, you know, a little lesser extent because Facebook is throwing out a mountain of profit. But even that, I mean, that's pretty lofty valuations too. Anyway, so that's a perfect illustration. If you wonder what people are talking about when we talk about value investors, we sit there and scratch our heads and go, wait a second, $11.5 billion in revenue and you're going to pay. Like, think about that. If that was a corner store, okay, let's take the name stock off it. If it was a corner store, and I'm sorry, I said we were closing the segment up, but I love this analogy. If this was a corner store and they told you they were making $110,000 a year in revenue and they were growing their revenue at 23% a year, and of that $110,000, $5,000 of it was profit, and they wanted you to buy it for, let's see, what would the equivalent be? $1.8 million. Would you do it? I hope not. Now, I'm not saying Netflix is the equivalent of a corner store, but the numbers are the same. You'd sit there and scratch your head and go, wait a second, this doesn't make any sense. It doesn't even make sense on the revenue side of it, let alone the profit side. If I just look at the profit side, how long is it going to take me to recoup the money to just get back to even, right? If I paid $1.7 million for it, how long is it going to take me to recoup the money? And that's what's going on right now. No one's paying attention to that. They're paying attention, or they're ascribing to or adhering to what we call the greater fool theory, which is the reason why people are buying the stock has nothing to do with the valuation. I just proved that to you. It has to do with the fact that they think they'll be able to sell it to somebody else at a higher price. Guys, that is the definition of a bubble. When asset prices do not reflect underlying reality. And we see it all over the place. Does that mean the world's falling apart? I just said earlier in the show, if you put a gun to my head, I think the market will probably be higher, if not substantially higher, over the next 12 months. It doesn't mean these stocks can't crash and burn. It also doesn't mean that we're trying to predict market moves, right? Which, when you own these companies at these valuations, that's what you're trying to do. In essence, you're market timing and just don't realize it because there's no value there. When something bad happens, there's nobody there to hold the bag except you, right? It's just fluff built into the price. I can't tell you where these stocks are going. I can't tell you where Netflix is going. What I can tell you is that their price will reflect reality at some point in the future. And there has never been a scenario. There isn't a single scenario on record when we have seen these type of valuations not equaled much lower prices. And typically for a long time. Most of you were alive in 99, 2000, right? IPOs doubling every single day. You remember how that ended. Not saying it's happening tomorrow. Like I said, I think market goes higher next 12 months. but it doesn't mean that you're making wise decisions investing your money. It's like gambling. So anyway, I went over there. Again, nothing personal. Don't want to beat up on them, but I want to illustrate to you the dangers out there. I think a lot of people are blind to it. I think a lot of people, especially on the conservative side of things, are sitting there cheering on Trump. I think he's doing some great things, obviously helping the economy. Look at the growth rates picking up. It does not mean we should pay insane prices for assets that in no way can justify it. So if you think that that could be you, or if you'd want to know what our solution is to this, give us a call. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. We will show you what we are doing with clients. We will show you how we are increasing returns and lowering risk and cost at the same time. It's not a gimmick. Not at all. You can also go to the radio show website at knowyourriskradio.com. If you're a investment junkie and you like this topic, we've got several more episodes like this. We pretty much cover everything in investing and personal investing and retirement planning. Go to the website. Go to our iTunes page. You can listen to different podcasts, interviews with heavyweights in the financial industry that have been kind enough to be on the show as well. Got tons of great stuff for you. Anyway, don't go away. When we come back, we're going to talk about specific client scenarios that we encountered this week and how they probably apply to you and big errors that are being made in planning. And I guarantee you, one of the two questions will apply to you in some way. So anyway, stick with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with my financial advisor, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. And Zach, what I love about you guys is your focus on risk management.
Well, Dory, we're a fiduciary and a holistic retirement planning firm. Our goals are simple. Get our clients the highest returns with the least amount of risk and cost.
I know they're normally used for safety, but how risky are bonds right now?
If a significant portion of your retirement portfolio is in cash or bonds, that just doesn't work in this low interest rate environment on the verge of inflation. You need a bond replacement strategy.
I gotta tell you, you have to read it. Zach's brand new version of Common Sense Investing. You'll learn that bond replacement strategy, learn how to protect your retirement against loss, but still participate in market gains. Call now, get your free copy, 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, we're back. Thank you for joining us. And if you stuck with us, thank you for sticking with us as well. Don't want to leave you out. So we're going to get into the client questions. But before, again, name of the show, Know Your Risk Radio. We talk about risks, but one of the ones we haven't really talked about a lot is the risk of not accomplishing your goals, right? And if we think about it, I think the best way to put it is this. That risk is why the majority of you have money invested in stocks, bonds, real estate to begin with, right? The recognition that you need to grow your assets to get the most productivity out of them, to live the lifestyle you want in retirement, et cetera, et cetera. All right. Otherwise, you just have it sitting in the bank in cash, right? Maybe you didn't think of it that way, but you are knowingly combating the risk of not growing your money by investing it in anything. And we don't really talk about that a lot. We talk about the downside risk because I think that's what, when we say risk, that's immediately what people think. But if I need, let's say I need 7.5% performance on average over the next, 15 or 20 years to accomplish my goal, which is to fund my retirement and still manage to grow my assets because I've got legacy things that I want to do. I want to pay for the grandkids, college. I got whatever those legacy things might be. That's my goal. Right? And if I fall a little short with that's fine. Certainly don't want to lose it all, but that's the goal, right? That's the goal. And if we tell you to, okay, well, that's a great goal. Stick your money in a savings account. Is that going to get it done? Well, and if you're laughing and thinking this guy's an idiot, it wouldn't be the first time somebody's called me that. But, I'm not trying to be sarcastic, but obviously you know that that's not going to accomplish that goal. We're not going to grow our money at 7.5%. This is not 1985, unfortunately. It's pretty amazing if you think about it, right? We buy 15% CDs back then. That's still mind-blowing to me. But anyway, we understand that. We inherently get that we can't generate those kind of returns. We got to deploy our capital. And so there's a real risk to underperformance. So this is illustrated clearly in a client meeting I had this week. Listeners to the show, just like you guys are. And they called in, went up and met with them. They're in their 70s. Wife still works. And she told her financial advisor that she was concerned about loss. She is 70 after all, doesn't want to risk a lot. But they've got things that they'd like to do. And so in response to that, she's 70. They're 70% in bonds. 70% in bonds. Last year, the stock market went up 23%. Holy smokes, that'd be crazy. 23%. So and for those of you that don't know, going back to the Great Depression, stocks have averaged somewhere between 11 and 12, depending on cost, depending on exact time frames and things like that. So when we get a year like 23, that's phenomenal, right? It's sort of a best case scenario. 2013, we did 31. But right, either or, we're considering those darn good years in the markets. And you know what she made? I want to say it was 4.5% or 5%. And that's a best case scenario. Now, if you've heard the show before, you probably know why. And she thought it was the same reason that everybody else thinks. I don't think he's very good at picking stocks. Now, to his credit, he wasn't an individual stock picker, but the funds that he had her in were just fine. There was nothing wrong with them. It was the bonds. Because what's happened to interest rates over the last 2 years? They've gone up. They haven't skyrocketed, but they moved up. Right? And we've been talking to people about this for 6 years. We've been talking about it on the radio now for 2.5. Rates go up, bonds lose money. And you got a year like 23%, you're paying somebody to manage your assets. Market goes up 23% and you made 4? Again, that's like a best case scenario. What risk is she facing there? What happens when we get a year where rates have continued to go up and they go up too much, which they always do, which leads into recessions, and the next recession happens? By that time, her bonds have absolutely gotten slaughtered. So typically, she's done one of two things. At some point, she reaches a pain threshold where she goes, okay, enough of these bonds, goes further into stocks. And typically, that happens pretty close to the tops of markets. So then we've got a scenario where she's been really conservative, missed out on all these gains and gotten almost bupkis for returns. And then she gets hammered during the next downturn. So she doesn't accomplish any of her goals. Right? So there are risks outside of just losing money. Crazy underperformance like that. And remember, when we're saying 4.5 or 5% in a year when the market's up 23, that's not the worst it can be, right? We're not saying that, oh, you only made 4%. In a year where the market's only up 5% and interest rates inch up a little bit, she could be looking at a negative year. And this goes into a conversation I had with another client. Same kind of scenario, not quite as much in bonds. He actually had a little more in stocks than he did in bonds. But he looked at me and he goes, now, I've said this on the air before, so I promise I'm not cherry picking this one. But he said, wait a second, Zach, I own 40% in bonds. That's my safe money, right? That's the safe part of my portfolio. And he goes, I understand if my safe part of the portfolio doesn't make me a lot. But he goes, I lost 3%. And he goes, there's got to be something wrong with that. And I said, there is. If you've got a safe investment, you shouldn't be bleeding money. And I'm talking total return. So value of the bond, less the yield he received, you know, down 3 or 4%. And he was shocked. He hadn't actually gone through and broken it down. The other thing was he goes, I don't really own any bonds. And I said, well, what kind of performance did you get last year? I want to say it was like 6.5 or 7.5 maybe. Or maybe it was 9. Anyway, I've met with a lot of people this week. But anyway, it wasn't very good. And I said, oh, you have to have bonds or you've got the worst stock picker in the world. Same scenario. He didn't realize the bonds he had in his portfolio because a lot of them were what we call balance funds, which is a mix of stocks and bonds. Or he had bond ETFs, which he just considered ETFs. But I said, no, instead of owning stocks, those ETFs are exchange-traded funds. They own bonds. When interest rates go up, you're going down. And the reason we focus on the bond side, now we talked about Netflix and Disney earlier on. Obviously, you know, stocks is the predominant part of our business. That's why I love the industry. That's why I got into managing money in the first place. But like I said, it was like I've said a million times, we don't know what's going to happen with stocks. And we've got a pretty good idea. Look, history bears it out. And again, we're not trying to predict moves, okay? But Jack Bogle has said it. Warren Buffett has said it. This isn't just me talking about it. But based on the current valuation of stock markets, the forward return on the next 10 years, just based on his history, right? Which is the same history that has you sitting there saying to yourself, I'm going to average 11% a year. Well, you've averaged 18 or so over the last 9. Okay, so what it tells us is the forward return the next 10 years, if the averages play out, you should be somewhere less than 3% a year on your stocks. People go, well, you know, 3%, it's not that bad. It's better than bond. But it doesn't happen like that, guys. The reason you average 3% is because you have a big year of a drop or 2 years of a drop, right? And it brings the overall performance down. Again, doesn't mean we sell stocks. We want to be cautious of that, right? Doesn't mean we sell stocks at all. Now, what it does mean is there's certain stocks that we'd like to own more of right now. And there are certain stocks that we want to be careful and we don't own too much of right now, like the ones that are severely overvalued, because that's just asking for an inevitable beating. Like that's gonna happen. You may not agree with me. It may make you mad hearing that. I'm just telling you. Right? It's just like real estate, just like the previous tech bubble. Now, it probably won't play out the exact same way because history rhymes, but it doesn't often repeat itself. But we still own stocks. We haven't even decreased our stockholding. Like you said, we've gotten a little more safer, a little more industrial focused, stuff that's not as overvalued. But where the no-brainer part of it comes is the bond side of the portfolio, because that isn't like the stock market. It can't do whatever it wants. You've got two options as a bond investor. That we repeat Japan, which means we basically stay at between 0 and 2% interest rates for the next 30 years. So congratulations, your bonds will continue to pay you less than the inflation rate, which in real terms is a loss on your money, or interest rates go up and your bonds bleed. Okay, those are the only two things that can happen because we're coming off 0% rates. So what we said was, hey, the reason we own bonds is for security. We've got this thing over here that's guaranteed and insured against loss. It literally has never lost money in 110 years. It gives us about, you know, somewhere between, and depending on the year it varies, depending on the product it varies, but gives us 50 to 70% upside in the stock market. Year like last year, market was up 23. These products average, the ones we use, between 12, 15%. Real gains, no catches. They also have no management fees. So they save us on cost. And they're insured against loss. You participate in 50, 60, 70% of the market gains in years where it goes up. In years where it goes down, you stay flat. People go, sounds too good to be true. No, it doesn't. If you think it does, you just got to educate yourself. That's why I was saying, give us a call. It's not too good to be true. They just shut me off by now and pulled my license. Story wouldn't endorse the firm. These products exist. It's called a fixed indexed annuity. Now, we use a very specific type. That's a broad universe. A lot of different kinds of fixed indexed annuities. There are some that cost money. There are some that only let your money grow a max of 5%. The ones we use don't have caps. There's lots of exceptions, okay? But the types we use do exactly what I just said. Remember, the whole point of bond money is safe, right? These are safer than bonds. They're guaranteed and insured against loss. What that enables us to do is it enables us to accomplish your goals and not have to take any more risk. So, for instance, that lady that was 70% bonds, 30% stocks, we can put her 50% in one of these fixed indexed annuities and 50% in stocks. So last year where she made 4 or 4.5 or 5%, she'd have made over 18. And she'd pay us less. And she's exposed to less risk overall. Now, like I said, there's things we do on the stock side of it too. But anyway, we got to wrap this up. We'll be right back with our final segment. We want to address one more client question that we had that I thought was really prescient and really great and interesting and would apply to you guys as well. As always, if this stuff interests you or you're sitting on a bunch of bonds or you're overexposed to stocks because you need better performance, give us a call. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com. Anyway, got to run. We'll be right back. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson. I'm here with Brian Ott, host of Long-Term Care Radio right here on Cairo every Saturday at 7. And Brian, before signing up for a plan, I attended one of your classes with my wife, learned how passionate you are about what you do and how you love to teach people about the importance of long-term care planning.
You know, I really do love educating people, Dory.
Now, why is that?
Well, someone took the time to educate my grandmother about long-term care, which meant she got the level of care she deserved, but it also meant my mom didn't have to give up her life to be a caregiver. You know, Dory, it taught me firsthand that long-term care planning protects you and the people you care about most.
Yeah, that's exactly why my wife and I put a plan in place with Brian and why I recommend you do the same. Start by joining Brian at his next long-term care planning class and learn about the most innovative plans available, like the one I got. It's going to pay me back whether I use it or not. Don't miss Brian's next class, Saturday, June 23rd in Bellevue. There are only a few seats left, so sign up today at 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs, so why risk it? Hey, it's Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. Call now and get our brand new version of Common Sense Investing. It's our complimentary booklet that shows you how you can protect your retirement portfolio against loss, but still participate in market gains. Safety doesn't have to mean lower returns. Our clients have increased their returns while being insured against loss. And like our client Dory Monson says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning.
I am indeed a client, Zach, and I got to tell you, you have to read Zach's brand new version of Common Sense Investing. You'll learn how to protect your retirement against loss, but still participate in market gains. Call now, get your free copy, 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, welcome back, and thank you for joining us. Thanks for sticking with us. We got to do this last segment a little bit abbreviated. We went over on some of our other segments, but want to talk about one more client question because I thought it was pretty prescient as well. Because I know there's some of you out here, and I just want to remind you. So, I had a client, first of all, had a great talk, stayed way too long, when saw these listeners at their house. Very successful real estate investors in a fairly short period of time, very shrewd with their money, very hardworking people, and have built really impressive real estate portfolio with a great net worth. And over a relatively short period of time, shoot, I think they've only been at it, I want to say like 16, 18 years, something like that. Anyway, and I see a lot of these, you know, I see a lot of these stories working with people that have made a lot of money and how they do it. And very few of them actually work for companies. It's not saying you can't, obviously. But, you know, a lot of entrepreneurial people, which always interests me because I run my own firm. And so always, you know, love to hear their stories. But anyway, so this guy was sitting there with a large portion of cash due to liquidating a few of his assets, a few properties for whatever reasons. And he's looking at eyeing some new properties and things of that nature. And he wanted to know what we had in terms of short-term investments and, you know, what we thought a good strategy for him would be. And I, you know, I thought of something, and he and I had a great long conversation about this, and thought, you know, I also hadn't talked about this on the air. Look, I'm a fan of real estate. I've actually owned real estate properties for investments. And will probably again at some point in the future. But I'm a big fan. There are a lot of ways to make money. It's not just stocks and bonds. And in no way am I saying that. And I said to him, I go, look, you hadn't really talked to another advisor. And he goes, people are just going to pitch me for, you know, selling more real estate. And I said, no, you're not going to hear that from me. And I said, because that's what you know. You've proven your proficiency at it. You're good at it. It's already built you a net worth that you can't possibly spend. So your retirement goals are maxed out. You've won the game. I'm not going to try to trade get you to switch horses midstream. And look, we may not even have a solution that works for you. I said, but what we will do is we'll look at everything. And we'll show you what you think might be applicable. We're not going to get you to try to sell more. And I said, now, the one thing I would tell you is that you're in a position where you've made more money doing this than you would have made investing over the same period of time in the stock market. You've gotten better returns. Again, no reason to switch horses midstream. But I said, let's have a conversation about risk. What risk do you have? Right? Because even though he's worth a lot of money, unfortunately, we all know how real estate can go, right? There are risks there. And I said, what is your risk? You know, economic problems, rents go down, deflationary event like 08, 09, although it's probably not, you know, like I said, very, very rarely do we get repeats of the same thing. And I said, but you are to the point right now where I said, you know, I think it would be wise. And I go, look, I'm not trying to drum up business. You know, we're straight shooters. I'm going to tell you, we can help you or we can't. And I go, but regardless whether you do it with me or somebody else, I go, I think a portion of cash or liquid assets, or maybe not even that liquid. I go, you're at the point where you've already acquired more than you're going to need. The income those properties are making you is already more than you're spending and more than you can spend. And I said, you should diversify a little bit. You're very concentrated in one asset class. And I go, that doesn't mean it has to stay diversified all the time. I go, again, you've made more money over the last 20 years than you could have investing in stocks. And I go, but playing it conservative and staying diversified, it's not just about preventing loss. It's also being able to take advantage of opportunities. You've got liquidity set aside. So in the event that there is a situation that hurts you, it's going to hurt everybody else that's too invested in real estate. But you'll have an advantage. What is it? You'll be able to go in there with capital and buy it up and take advantage of it. So we'd never really talked about that. But if you're not a stock or bond investor, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't think about that. Remember, diversification is really what protects us. So anyway, we got to run. As always, if you want to talk about some of those strategies we use to reduce risk, reduce cost, increase revenue, bond replacements, any of that stuff, give us a call. We can come meet with you. You can get a copy of the Common Sense Investing booklet. We can do a review on the phone. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website at knowyourriskradio.com. Listen to the podcast. Got a lot of good stuff on there. Sign up for the free newsletter. Producer just reminded me of that. No strings attached. You will not get any weird stuff from us. If you don't want to be called, you can also email us if you don't want to talk on the phone. But get a second opinion. Get some. If we said something that's tickled your ears, get a second opinion. Take a deeper look. Anyway, we got to run. Have a great weekend and go Mariners. Weather's looking great too. Anyway, have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. Tune in next week to Know Your Risk Radio with your host, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.